Now note what you have written next to those items. And if you have really been praying about those items, your description of them should be changing. If you have mentioned blur, at the end of it, if you have really been praying about those items, then you should be able to have some details or some areas. Sometimes you put clear and you thought that you saw it clearly, but that vision you saw was brought about by your soul's influence. See, our soul can influence certain things too. And when that happens, the clarity you have and the details you have were affected from your soul. But when you pray about that, those clarity disappear, replaced by some other things, some other refinements to the clarity you saw. Or perhaps while you were praying, you saw difficulties with that picture that you didn't see before, and that was supposed to be a true spiritual picture. That's amazing. But let's say praying in tongues is useful. It clarifies all these things, and that's what we're going to teach on tonight, and on the quality of tongues. And so let's go to God in prayer. Father, we praise you and thank you for your grace and your mercy to our lives. And we pray, Father God, that you continue to teach us to pray like Jesus taught his disciples to pray. We are your modern disciples in this modern world today, but we have the same Holy Spirit, the same Word, and you are the same Lord, and we're the same Father. And we know, God, we have to do and to have the same signs, the same wonders, the same miracles, the same power that Jesus operated with and in. And we pray tonight, O God, that we will continue to understand the realm of your Spirit. And in the name of Jesus, we ask, O God, that your divine light will come upon each heart and each mind here. Enlighten each one of us. Cause us, O God, to move into the depths like we should in the Spirit as we pray in you. Cause us to understand this wonderful gift of tongues that you have given to each one of us, that we may excel and have excellency in the things of your Spirit. Such a simple, refined, yet powerful and intricate gift that you've given to us. We pray, Lord, that we may understand the gift of tongues and utilize it to the fullness that you so desire us to. Glorify your Son, Jesus, in our midst. Lift him high in our midst. We may be able to adore him and give him all the glory, worship, and honor as due unto his name. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Praise God. Let's turn to the book of 1 Corinthians. Now, what we have shared in our instructional area is related to this. And as I was saying earlier, and it bears repeating here, that when we pray a prayer item, we are bound to have a picture. Even if you are not the most imaginative person here, you are bound to have some sort of pictures. Our brain records events in pictures. It is holographic. And so we would have a certain image and picture of what we are praying for. Now, that picture that we see may be produced 100% from our spirit. Sometimes, if what we are praying is not the Lord's will and desire, it is produced 100% from our soul. And sometimes, if it's the Lord's will, that picture that we see is perhaps 10% of what the Spirit is producing, but 90% are additions from our soul, colored by our soul. In other words, we could know what God's will is, but not the how. So as we pray towards that direction, our mind conjures up all kinds of things to do, just because we're familiar with that. And it's in a quality type of praying that we can remove the vision that is conjured up by our soul or by infiltration from the enemy or from our past experiences with related to the soul, and have the pure, refined vision that the Holy Spirit wants us to have. See, what we want is not our own vision, we want the Lord's vision. What we want is not our will, but the Lord's will to be done. And therefore, we need to, in order to birth out that will, we need to be able to see exactly the picture, or rather the vision that the Lord has about that will that He has for us. The more we are able to see as the Lord sees, the greater the ability to succeed in praying it into materialism, praying it into experience, praying it from the spirit world into the physical world. But if we are unable to see that picture, we will never be able to produce it at all. There will be too many hindrances, too much static, and too many obstacles that prevent the birth of that picture. And so that picture that we see inside is important. For as a man thinketh or seeth in his heart, so is he. And if you do not have the picture correctly, everything else will be wrong. So it's important for us to know that. And there's a certain type of prayer that would result in that. And let's look at it one by one in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Now the quality of tongues is different from what we call the different levels of praying in tongues. We're not talking about the same subject. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. See, when we talk about different levels of tongues, we are talking more about the experience and the depth that each one grows into. For example, we talk about stammering lips, right? We talk about that from Isaiah chapter 28, verse 11 and 12. Then we talk about a full tongue, a real language that comes out from a person, the second level. And then at the third level, we talk about how a person moves in the different types of languages. And then at the fourth level, we talk about a person going into groaning in the spirit. And then at the fifth level, we talk about a person moving into singing in the spirit. You all remember that? Right? Now, we're not referring to those areas. Those areas are areas of growth. And as you grow deeper, you could move deeper. But here, tonight, we're talking about the quality of tongues. In other words, even though you grow very deeply, there will be these different qualities that apply within our life, guided by the Holy Spirit. And one area is what I call building up tongues. Building up tongues, okay? Now, that is the most common and the basic of all the qualities of praying tongues. The quality of tongue is like a fruit which has many flavored tastes. It's just like buying an ice cream with perhaps about 4 or 5 flavors. And you know, as you taste the ice cream, you ask for vanilla, strawberry, chocolate, and what's the other favorite? Let's say peppermint, okay? And so as you taste the ice cream, sometimes you taste a little bit of a mixture, sometimes you taste the chocolate, sometimes you take the taste of vanilla, sometimes you taste the strawberry. So it has what I call a multifaceted taste. That's why people mix ice creams together, don't they? Right? To get all the taste mixed up and get their taste buds excited. And so in the same way, God has created tongues to have many flavors and qualities. And we could move into the different flavors if we are aware of. For example, if you have been brought up in a world that has only vanilla ice cream, I would think that you would be the most excited person when you discover there's chocolate ice cream, right? So in the same way, and if you didn't know that there was such a thing as a chocolate ice cream, you would never even think or even ask or look for it, or even make it. And so in the same way, if we are not aware of the different qualities of tongues, then we would never move into those areas. Knowledge is important. Knowledge is the first key towards moving into the things of experience. Now in chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, we read there that it says here in verse 4, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. It says here that the one who prays in tongues builds himself up. The word build refers to like a person building a house, brick upon brick upon brick upon brick. And tongues is a building up process. And that word edify also means to energize. It's just like taking your wet cell battery and you have kept it for too long and it hasn't been recharged. So what do? You have to take the car battery and you fill it up properly and have it recharged properly by running the car. Or if you prefer doing it a different way, you take it and you fix it to some current somewhere and charge it and have it charged properly. So in the same way, praying in tongues charges us up. Now, if you say praying in tongues edifies us, the focus is us, right? Not God. Now don't get me wrong, that's another area altogether. If you say he edifies himself, that means when you pray in tongues, something is happening to you. Obviously. Some sort of spiritual energy or energizing, some sort of spiritual building is happening to you. Now that ties with the other scripture in Jude verse 20. Let's look at Jude verse 20 as a cross reference here. But you, beloved, building who? Say yourselves. Building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Building yourselves. He didn't say build God up. Of course, you can't build God up. God is builded. God is complete. We are the one who needs completing. It says, we are being built up. Something is happening to us. We are being built. We are the object of the energizing and the building. So when we pray in tongues, one of the qualities is the building process. Now these things I discovered when I began to pray, you know, continually for long hours. And I knew that in my experience, but I never see it to be separate truths. And when I began to see a separate truth, then that really revolutionized my life. And when most people, when they pray in tongues, besides the five levels that they could move into, right, there are five levels, they stay at the edifying stage. They only know how to pray enough to edify themselves. Now, we are talking to people who are aware or praying in tongues, 1 hour is kacang putih, peanuts, right? Now, if you pray in tongues about 5 minutes a day, then what we are talking make no sense to you. Or 15 minutes a year. But we are talking to people here who are praying overnight, who have spent 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, and that is nothing to you, okay? You may not have done it every day, but you have done it before. At least several occasions, or even once a month. Or something like that. That you're aware that when you're praying in tongues, that there is a quality of tongues where it feels and it sounds as if all you're doing is charging yourself up. And that kind of tongue sounds this way, right? Now, the young will probably sound like stammering this all the time, right? It's very experiential. So I have to illustrate the five levels before I illustrate this. Okay, the five levels, remember, level one was stammering lips. So those young in the Lord, sometimes they got in, they go, right? Okay, stammering lips, okay? Then, they go to a language. Alright, they go into a language. Then, at the third level, they go to a different language. Alright, different language, okay? Then, they go to the fourth level. They go into groaning, okay? And then the fifth level, they go to singing street.
Siriamo, Siriato.
Right? Different areas. Now, those are different levels you could move into. Sometimes the person starts off at the second level for some reason, some starts off at the first level. But the quality of tongue speaks of something different. See, you could pray 1 hour, you could be even at the second level or third level. And you sense that even after praying, your prayer is just what I call free fall. You know? Zero gravity. You know, there's a type of tongues you could pray while you're doing the math formula. There's a type of tongues you could pray, you know, while your mind is doing the binomial theorem or the Pascal's law of probability. And you're doing all the calculations and your mind is active and you're going, right? This is normally how it sounds, right? Because I tend to go on the dialogue area of tongues. The building tongues in people always sound, mainly sounds like that. It goes, not that it's not important. It's a part of the Christian life. There will be times you need to do that. That is what I call building up tongues. I have to illustrate, right? With my own tongue, like your own tongue may be different. Remember that. But the qualities of it, number one, it really sounds like you're building yourself up. You know, like a little bubbles that are flowing out from your red cell battery as a side effect of gases. While your battery is being charged. And that is yourself. You benefit. And that is a building tongue. Sometimes there could be a vision involved, sometimes there's none. But you know you're building in some area. You're building in the things of the spirit. And you're charging yourself up. And sometimes you charge yourself, you could perceive more in the spirit. That's possible. But all those areas are classified under building up tongues. And it sounds, it has some monotony involved. Monotonous. Okay. Monotony, I'm not sure there's such a word. Okay, some monotonous. And then it has a, as I mentioned just now, it has a bubbling quality. And the third area, it has a hang loose quality. The quality where you don't have to concentrate much. You just go, you know, like we have said, how to pray overnight, how to overnight pray. One of the things is for your body movement. So you could, the free fall, you could say a rhythm. A rhythm is involved, right? Building up rhythm. You go, even when you build a house or something, when you do your work, you notice that when you get into rhythm, you do your work faster, right? You have a rhythm of doing it. You could do it faster. And So there is a level of tongues which the Bible says, he that pray in an unknown tongue edify himself. And sometimes some people do that the whole of the whole overnight. Because they didn't know the quality of tongues, all they do is Now, it doesn't sound like a sentence. Certainly it doesn't sound like someone talking. Excuse me, I mean, we are talking, but it doesn't sound like someone talking. Let's say that if I'm talking in English all the time and talking about all the facts that I need you to know, and you're understanding all these facts and you're paying attention with your eyes open and your mouth smiling, you know that I need to tell you all these things. They are very important. Now, right? I can't have a conversation with him. It's a monologue. Right? So, surely that kind of tongue is a special area in itself. Now this building up tongues. You're not so concerned about the receiving air that God can hear anytime and anyway. But the main thrust of it seems to be building us. Energizing us. And it's important. There are times when we need to pray like that. There are times we need to build ourselves up. And there is one of the qualities of tongues that we need to experience it. And if you learn this first area of the quality of tongues, building up tongues, you could pray anytime, day or night. 24 hours. You could pray while you're doing the most complicated task. You could pray under your breath. Most of prayer under the breath is building up tongue. Now, it may be dialogue tongue if you become more experienced in dialogue tongue. That's the second area. We're not going to that yet. But the building up tongues is an area which you could pray virtually anytime, day and night. Your mind is occupied and everything. You could just pray. It's the easiest. You don't need much concentration and cooperation except to use your tongue. That's all. Very relaxing, right? Very relaxing. Easy. Very easy. The easiest form of tongue. And I've seen people, and sometimes I do that myself, and I've seen people reading a book and praying tongues. What kind of tongues? Of course, that's building up tongues, because you are definitely, although you are praying in tongues, you're not concentrating on the tongue, you're concentrating on your book. Because when you concentrate on tongue, you cannot read your book. And so that is building up tongues. It's the easiest, and usually people flow into that. People flow in that. But the second area of tongues is what I call dialogue tongues. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and as we go further and further into the quality of tongue, we realize that it's going to take more concentration. More concentration. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it says in verse 2, "For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to man, but to God. For no one understands him, however, in the spirit he speaks mysteries." And here it says, "He who speaketh in an unknown tongue speaks to God. He speaks mysteries." And here it gives you the picture of God. There is a dialogue involved. In other words, you are in communion with God. You are speaking and then listening. You're speaking and then listening. You're speaking and listening. It's a dialogue with God. And that second area and quality of tongues takes more concentration. And you really have to sense in your spirit, like the words coming forth from you and flowing forth from that. And like, for example, you know, if you move in the dialogue tongues, if I were to move in the dialogue quality of tongues, I have to be built up first. If you're not built up first, you find it hard to dialogue with God in tongues. And when you move in the dialogue, it changes its tone. It's a different type of tongue. You find that your tongue changes almost. The very quality of it seems to change to a different flavor. I call it flavor because each one is important, not lesser than one another. All are equal. But you notice a different flavor. And like before building tongues, you go, right, you go in that. But when you go in the dialogue tongues, you need to concentrate. And how do I concentrate? Like, I sense in my spirit what I want to say to God. I want to tell God I love Him. Now, it takes more concentration because I have to literally imagine or visualize God there, and I'm talking to Him as a person, and I'm speaking to Him in sentences, and by doing that my tongue automatically changes without an effort. But it still takes some form of concentration. Remember, tongues is still there, the quality is still there. We don't control the tongue, the language. There are certain areas we don't control, but it comes out differently. I'm having a dialogue with God. And when I do that, it brings me into a different depth of relationship. I'm not concentrating on building myself up. I'm concentrating on my dialogue with God. I'm concentrating on Him being there, and I'm talking secrets to Him in a secret language that my spirit understands. So as I walk in my daily life, I will be talking to God. See, there's someone walking with me. That's how I walk with God. There's someone walking with me and I'm talking with Him. You may not see Him, but I see Him. My spirit perceives Him. And from time to time, I speak. My spirit speaks secret things to him, and he speaks secret things to me. It brings a tremendous reality of God's presence right there with you. And you could learn to do it also in certain things, times that you're doing, like driving. I could do it also, right? In the driving. Now, the listening part is only my spirit speaking, not my intellect. Right? When you go to the third area, then you talk about the listening part, third quality. We're talking about the second quality area, where it has become a dialogue. And I noticed that some people remain at the first quality. All they like is vanilla flavor. And never tried peppermint and strawberry, of course, all without artificial coloring. And all the other flavors, they're stuck with vanilla tongues. Thank God for vanilla too, anyway. And that's all they do, you know. And they have not realized that there is a relationship you can be with God. You know, like little secrets you could speak to God out of your spirit, out of your sense of God's presence. And you do it for some time, dialogue time, it brings you a different atmosphere from building. See, building, you sense an atmosphere being built into you. But dialogue tongues, you sense your hand reaching out to hold the hand of him who died for us on the cross and walking together. It gives a different sense. See, what am I doing? I'm talking to God about her. Different. God is really there, and I'm talking to him in my language, special language. My mind doesn't understand it, but my spirit does. And I could apply that to the daily things of life. For example, I cannot understand a problem. Let's say I have a situation, I have a problem right before me, right? This guitar is only a symbol. It could be anything, your work problem, your computer problem, your business problem, your accounts problem. And your intellect is tearing at it like a blank wall. But your spirit always knows the solution with the Holy Ghost. So what do? You want to talk to God about that. You don't want to just build yourself up. No, you want to talk to God about the solution. So, something come up from your spirit. First you sense trouble, anxiety. Natural worry tries to come in. What do? I say, look at you. You talk. You have to sense God as being there first before you can move in the dialogue. Then you go, then you sense that your tongue takes its own natural flow. It's just like releasing the fountain, right? When you release the fountain, and the pressure from inside will determine the extent of the flow, the amount of water rushing out, and the direction of the flow. But what you do is the release part. And as you release it, right, we don't need to get too far from you. And so as you release it, you're able to pray, and as you move very deep into dialogue, you can move into the third quality where your intellect picks up what your spirit is speaking. Suddenly you pick it up. Suddenly you pick up what you are saying to God. Things that your intellect would never ask. And let me tell you this, like sometimes when people, you know, come and they come for counseling, with the intellect we have listened, with our natural ears we have listened, you know, and we have talked about natural things, the person's experience, and everything is from the intellect. Now, naturally, as you join hands with the person whom you counsel, and you wanted to pray with the person, right, what does your intellect do? Under normal circumstances, you will pray and bring to God that problem you discussed, right? That will be natural. But if you start doing dialogue songs, you'll be surprised at the direction God takes. Sometimes, like, you know, I will want to bring it before God, and my spirit couldn't bring that before God. My mind could, but my spirit could not. And I find my dialogue songs talking about some other things first. So I have to wait a while before it gets to this point. And after, by the time it gets to this point, then I understood that there are some things here involved that God's spirit know I have to pray about that area before this area. But if I go into building towns, I will go, see, building towns don't care about anything. It just builds, right? But if you want to dialogue with God, you have to sense him. any of the sins, what is coming up from him. So perhaps you counsel the person, your intellect knows what is the problem. Let's say, you know, just an example. Let's say he has been having some personal emotional problems. And then he has shared and poured his heart out to you, or he's hurt. The first thing you want to do intellectually is to pray together with the person on that area. Naturally, that was the area of counseling. I mean, the person came all the way, counseled by emotional problems, and you counsel everything. And then you're going to pray, you know, for the Iraqis, praise God, and amen, may everything be done well in Kuwait, in Jesus' name, amen. Right? Person leaves the office, what strange guy that is. I thought about that moment he prayed in the seat for the Middle East, you know. Not that it's not important, but, you know, it seems to be out of the picture. And what we are talking about here is that when you move the dialogue tongues, you could be here, you know, and you're counseling, and your intellect wants to pray in that area, but your dialogue tongue move into another area. Thank God is in tongues. So the person doesn't know that you're sidetracked. But God knows that it's important to talk about all those areas before zooming into this. Right? Because God may see the problem different from we seeing it. Ours is an end's view. Remember, His is God's view. And so as you have that person, you want to pray for that, you send your spirit speak about other day, which is sometimes what I send. Your spirit speak about other day. I sense what my spirit want to talk to God in dialogue about this situation. And sometimes it doesn't go that area, you go other areas. And then take some time after dialogue, then he comes to this area, then I really begin to pray with more power in that area. And after praying in tongues in that area, then I could pray in the intellect, which would be the third area of quality of tongues, which you can talk about. And it becomes more powerful. Your prayer becomes a literal interpretation of your tongue. Then you really release the power. See, there is a release that needs to come. There is a release that needs to come. When you pray with a person, your mental condition, your heart condition, not and your spiritual condition all should be one. Know that our spirit is available 24 hours of the time to God. But we realize that's not the problem. The problem is our mind is not all the time available to God or willing to yield to God utterly or feel like it. Nor our emotions. So when we pray for a person, we have to really pray as if we impart some things into a person. I mean, you put your spirit into your word. You put your soul into your words. You put everything you have into those things to impart in. It's different. Let me illustrate, right? First, I'll try to illustrate. It's very hard to bluff. But I'll try, okay? So you're praying for a person, you go, you know, you don't really feel like praying. And, you know, and all you want is get rid of the person very fast. And, you think that fellow is wasting your time because some other more urgent, important things to do. You go, Father God, we thank you for all these things, and we thank you, God, that this person is here with you, and you commit all these things to you. Thank you for looking into this person's case, and we thank you, Lord, everything is committed to you. We thank you, Lord, your word works, oh God. And tell the person, Jesus, amen. Okay, believe, okay, go on. Right? And you have prayed, but you haven't put your spirit and your soul and your whole being into that prayer. It's not as powerful. As you really pray, and you really need to put something there. You know, and you really put all you have into it and say, Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for what you're able to give unto our sister. Now, when you do that, it doesn't mean you have to shake a person because it's real. Oh, you really pray, you know. You really give it, you know. No. You have to somehow do it without too much physical, you know, vibrations. Spiritual is so like, okay. But now then we realize how much our voice, our posture, all these changes to flow with it. To have what I call a flow. And sometimes that happens. See, when you visit a hospital and your own level of faith is like not there. You believe the word but you're not so, perhaps you're very tired. It's the 100 patient you're visiting. You're a bit tired and you're waiting and you know that your last bus is at what time. Your mind is not in a prayer anymore. If the person is here, is more the other person and the grace of God other than you involved directly. And so you realize you couldn't put your heart into that. It does make a difference. It makes a lot of difference. And when you really could put your heart and your spirit, it makes it different. And what we are talking about is that in the praying in the spirit in the second quality, you cannot lie and deceive to your own spirit. Your spirit will not lie. Your spirit will not lie. If your spirit is sensing certain things, your spirit will go to those things first before this. And when you begin to move into the second quality of tongues and just let the spirit flow through you, your spirit will just flow in areas that it deems most important than you deem in the natural first. That's what it does. I could talk to God about anybody, right? For example, no? Let's say I try to pray for him. Okay, let's say I try to pray for him. That is building tongue. I could do it and direct it towards him. But when I do dialogue tongues, I'm talking to God, to God about him. I may sense it differently. I cannot do it right now. Building tongues I could do direct. But dialoguing to God, you know, he has to get some direction from God. Leveria was Evonte. Leveria was a alibi. Yerekomo Sumani. Nele vo or as Evrianos Oliveria. Leveria Zana. See, I cannot bring myself to him yet. I couldn't. In building times I could just come and just flow. See, in dialogue times you're sensing God's presence. You're talking to God first. And it seems that there's something that I haven't talked to God finished yet before I could want to minister. Right? That's an illustration. And sometimes the person could be right with you. And you want to pray that prayer. And you're having dialogue with God. And you're praying. Hello, Iriya Arabahasa Eh Mas Yigobo Araboli Araba Iba Baba Baba Zebelibu Murabaji Bidi Abobo Zaza 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 Zigi Zuzuzuza Alibi Uraba Shiri Zarabadi Shulevasi Okay, what was it, Moma Amas? Okay, now right, it makes you strange, doesn't it? See, I was talking to God. It's as if God is there. And as if God is talking to me. And I move into the third area, which I thought I was tell you what. God has been speaking to me and saying that your heart has been, you know, feeling some sort of condition problem recently. Isn't it right? And you have some concerns in the area. And the Lord saying that just remove every area of doubt the enemy tries to put. God has touched you, it's permanent. Any of those things are only symptoms that the enemy tries to remind you. And just, see, as long as dialoguing with God, dialoguing, that's another word. In dialogue with God, okay? And my English can be atrocious. So, and as long as in dialogue with God, I sense God is as if I'm talking to God, and I sense as if, you know, God was pointing to his heart. So I did what God did. I did what Jesus did. Now that's totally different from you ministering by building up. You know, just bang, that's different. In dialogue, you sense his presence. You sense his real. You sense what he's doing. It's different. It's totally different. And only that God is saying that, you know, you have only just begun in that which he has designed for you. And you're going to go off rather to some area of ministry together with some people. You know, that doesn't mean you're going to go to full time. But the Lord's going to ask you to go and you'll be joining some people here and there, ministering in the Lord together. Okay? It may even involve a lot of traveling. Alright. So, we're talking about dialogue with God, and the tongues is different. And sometimes when you pray overnight in long overnight prayer, be aware of the quality of tongue. Don't just get on, sit down in your position. Oh, 6 o'clock, okay. I know God, you know, enjoys it, you know, we're building ourselves up. But He wants to dialogue with us. And He wants us to really, you know, talk to Him. After praying, you will sense that your spirit wants an intimate thing to intimate talk with God. Just do it. I mean, it doesn't mean that just because you got to pray 6 hours, that you're going to pray non-stop every second. Every second means, you know, pastor say 1 hour, so 1 hour non-stop. So if I stop for 30 seconds, you know, every minute, you know, 1 hour only means half an hour. The other half an hour was silence. So you get all your words into. Dialogue is different. There is a pause, there is a talking, there is an expression that flows forth. So you have to be sensitive to more than just allowing tongues to flow out. You have to be sensitive to what you want to say to God. What your spirit is saying to God. And there could be a pause. It's just like talking to a person. I must be talking to God about something very, very funny. Right? Or something that the spirit is happy about. Right? So, that's different. So move into the other quality, and tonight you can explore, okay? Just explore with God. And don't just, you know, hang on to the horns of the altar. Right? Flow with God. There are other qualities to tongues than just that. And be yourself by all means, but move into other things. You know? See, when everybody of us start having a dialogue with God, and somebody comes and says, these fellows are talking to somebody. I wonder where he is. Of course we are talking to somebody. He's gone and he's invisible. So that's another area. And we are actually talking. I'm trying to make it as experiential as possible. You're actually talking to a person. It has stopped. It has break. It is a real language flowing out from you. Yeah, there are expressions too. See, a language has expressions. Second area where it's a dialogue with God. The third area, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 13, therefore let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. Now here is not talking about public interpretation yet. That's later on in the chapter. He's talking about private interpretation. See, it says, he that speak in an unknown tongue, pray that he may interpret. Does it mean that after every time you speak in tongues, you say, oh God, what's the interpretation anyway? Right? It's going to be very difficult. What it means, you see, the word pray also means desire. It also means a tremendous desire that you have in those areas. Desire that he may interpret or understand what he's saying. And so it's different from 1 Corinthians 14, where it's public interpretation, where in verse 27, it's different from verse 27 in its usage. Quality is the same, but different in usage. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let them be two or at the most three, each in turn, and let one interpret. But if there's no interpreter, let him keep silent in church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Let two or three prophets speak, and let the other judge. Now, isn't it interesting that it says in verse 20, if there's no interpreter? Apparently, there can be those who have a special gift where they could understand the gift of tongues, because they have the gift of interpretation. Apparently, there can be those who have a special gift where they could understand the gift of tongues, because they have the gift of interpretation. It's not talking about the interpretation to, you know, from one known language into another known language.
No, he's obviously talking about tongue. And he called the one who had the gift of interpretation the interpreter. There he is, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Oh, let's see. I'm going to go to here again. 1 Corinthians 14. And in verse 28, it says, if there is no interpreter. What is he talking about? He's not talking about normal interpretation of one language to another that's known to man and that's learned by linguistic skills. It's talking about a gift or interpretation, and the person who has the gift has such a gift that every time he hears someone speaking in the gift of tongues, you know what it is. Isn't that a tremendous gift? I mean, when you hear tongues, you know what it is. You know what God is speaking. This is a gift of tongues operating
as a spirit will in a person, of course.
And
then it's operating in public. Then you're talking about the private gift.
Remember we talked about the gift of the Holy Spirit, and the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit compared to the nine growth of the human spirit.
And the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit are like, for example, the word of wisdom contrasts with spiritual wisdom. The word of knowledge contrasts with spiritual knowledge.
And the gift of discerning of spirits contrasts with discernment.
And all the other areas have its counterpart. The gift of faith, you know, compared to growing in faith. There is comparison. Then we have the gift of interpretation of tongues as compared to the ability to interpret tongues. On that area is the Holy Spirit. Here is the human spirit. Now, what was the difference? The human spirit is always available 24 hours a day. The Holy Spirit, the manifestation, comes as a spirit will. Didn't we learn that? The gifts of healing compared to the prayer for healing. You could pray for anyone for healing 24 hours a day. But the gifts of healing only operate as a spirit will. To be consistent with that truth, then the gift of interpretation comes as a spirit will, Holy Spirit will, anointing upon. But the private interpretation that we can grow and our human spirit can grow and develop in is something that is a part and parcel of you because you've grown and developed in those areas. It's counterpart in growing. It has to do with your human spirit picking things up. And that's the area that we move into when we move into dialogue. As you dialogue with God, your mind has to flow with the spirit rather than the spirit flow with your mind. See the difference? See, he may have some problems and burdens that he shared with me that we want to pray together. So in the intellect, I pray together with him. We can do that. We direct our spiritual resources and strength into this area to lift him up. And I could do that. We could do that. But when you're doing the other area, you're asking your intellect, no matter how pressing, urgent the problem is, to follow the spirit first. And you may even talk for half an hour before the spirit gets to this subject. And your intellect still has to follow the spirit. Now, in Christian life, you have to do both. At different times, different seasons. They both have its place. And the second cannot work before the first. In other words, you must be edified first. Of course. Your battery is dead. Don't talk about dialogue with God. Right? Your transmitter completely conked out. How to have dialogue? There'll be nothing but empty words. So, you have to be edified, definitely. Then you move to the second area of dialogue. Then you move to the third area. Where as you dialogue, you see, in the abundance of your dialogue, you pick up something. That's quite difficult to illustrate, but let me try. It's just that I don't understand Cantonese, okay? I only understand a few words, okay? Like tak fun and, you know, and a few words of Cantonese, not good enough to get around. And someone could be talking very fast in Cantonese, and if I'm listening to the conversation, you know, and when you hear Cantonese people talking, it sounds like fighting. And then you know they're real bona fide Cantonese. And right, it's just the language itself. And so as I listen, you know, I may catch a bit in a multitude of words, I may catch a little bit of what they're talking. Because of their gesture, because of the expression, the way they're talking, of course immediately I could sense how urgent it is. Right? For Cantonese everything is urgent, right? So but we could catch, you know, how it is. Like even if you talk to Tamil with another person, you could catch whether it's urgent. You could catch that. You see, there are some things that are very international. Panic, fear, joy, laughter, these are very international. Right? You could catch it within there, in all languages. And then I may catch words that I could roughly recognize. The essence of what they're saying, and the direction that it's bringing to, and the actions that they're taking. But as our spirit talks to God, our mind is a silent listener to the conversation that is going on. Our soul takes a back seat. This is what Paul was saying. The mind is unfruitful. It takes a back seat, listening. And our spirit is on the steering wheel, talking to God. Rabahariva, Levriya, Zevriya, Savarive, Aramahama, Yigibrahma, E. Liver as mini homosh aha bri ahas ilia ho kabasa. See, my mind takes a back seat, my spirit comes to the front and it speaks what it wants to God. Because some people's mind would rather snatch the steering wheel and wrestle. And the poor car goes, you know, zigzag. And you can't have two drivers. And so as your mind takes a back seat and listen to your spirit talking, eavesdropping on your spirit talking to God, your mind becomes subservient to your spirit, and it can begin to pick up some things that your spirit is talking to God. It can begin to pick up something, especially if you desire and you ask God to help you understand. Now, the language of the spirit is totally different from the natural. But you could move in the third area, and you listen carefully. Your spirit, you see, every time you talk to God, God replies. God replies to your spirit, not to your mind. See, God is speaking all the time. As I speak to God, God speaks to me. There is a dialogue, not a monologue. So as you talk to God, Degilehando Zohora Ate, Zi Rebahaza, Degile Monsa, Vikiba Ramas, Lebaba, Zebe, Bomaza Ramas, Zedigaba Zantirian, O Livirian, Azariati, Zigibrian Tomas Ibrianta, Zigi, Mozagar Mahantiki Botabas, Ereba, Sanarabahantikibas, Eva T. Vono Mahamas, Miriam was Almas. See, as I was talking to God, you know, I was asking God, you know, in a sense, you know, Lord, is there anything, you know, that you want me to do here? And God, what about congregation here, you know, in here? As I was talking to God about her, you know, I wanted to pick up something from her, right? And the Lord points to her, and the Lord said that, you know, she has a urinary problem, and, you know, that she's been having, and the Lord is touching, and the Lord is just saying, that believe, you know, He's the God, your healer, right? And the Lord was pointing to you. I was not even, my mind would not ask about you. My mind wanted to ask about her. But the Lord knows that, as I was talking, that I was intending to sort of minister to her or to anybody. And then the Holy Spirit seems to sense, you know, He's there, and sends, hey, here, over here, boy. And then, yes, sir. Right? And then he points to her, and then the Lord describes certain things in the spirit. I was in communion with him. Isn't that fantastic? Wonderful. You could be in dialogue with God about anything, and you will know the answers to every problem. Tell you that's dangerous to the world. When more people get in a dialogue with God, and you're listening. See, when there's a dialogue, that's tremendous. You pick up things that the world doesn't pick up. You do that, no? In any situation, you could be even shopping. No, some of you ladies thought God is not concerned. Shopping is not spiritual. So then you get back, you got to say, God, forgive me for going to the supermarket today, you know? Right? No, you could be shopping and you intend to get certain things and you're talking to God. Hallelujah, whatever you And you were driving and you're on your way to Pak Seng Grand. And as you're driving there, somehow, you know, God keep pointing you to Jai Jasko. God knew exactly what you wanted. And God said, hey boy, not here, there, today. And I think it solves a lot of things. Because he knows, we don't know, he knows. And incidentally, your spirit knows. Because he knows, he conveys to your spirit. So the third area is quite powerful. And there are some things that I talk to God in the spirit about the ministry. Sometimes invitations come and I pray, you know, it comes. Is it? And I have a secret language with God. So when it comes, say, hey, brother, it sounds like Russian talking to somebody, right? But people don't see it, right? Now you can move the dialogue. It doesn't mean when you move the dialogue, you have to, Raba, Sibariba, Sibariya, right? It doesn't mean that. When you're used to it, you could talk quite fast. I mean, those who are close to you, you talk very fast. You communicate, you understand the accent and all the different things about a person. So, don't be that way when you move in the dialogue in your family, you could just talk to God like an ordinary person. Yeah, it's different from. It's different. It's a dialogue. See, when I receive an invitation, I go, you know, immediately ask God, God is right there, in me, with me, around me, but he's there. So I refer to him as if he's right next to me physically. You know, the letter comes and says, what do you think about this, Lord? See, so my mind wants to tell God, what do you think about this, Lord? So he goes, right, that's what my intellect intends to tell God. But my spirit may phrase it differently and add a few things which my intellect don't know at all. Right? I may be, in my mind, I intend to say, God, what do you think about this? But my spirit may be saying, you know, oh Lord, and may say, oh Lord, grant that I may know your mind and desire. My spirit may be asking the same question differently. Because my mind phrases it from my side, the spirit may phrase it differently. And it's more powerful because my spirit will know how to ask the right questions that my mind doesn't. So you refer it to God. So sometimes I refer it to God. Berapa yang beri? Bos berapa? Kita mana kalau beri berapa sih? Berapa sih beli? Bos berapa sih lagi? Berapa sih beli? Bos berapa? Eh, sih? Nombor berapa sih? Eh, bos. Berapa? Tinggi berapa? Harga berapa sih? Berapa bos lagi? Bos berapa? So, you know, and as you pray and you sense that third level coming where you catch glimpses of the mind of God. Glimpses of the mind of God. And you begin to have a little bit of that drift to your intellect. As we grow to know the mind of Christ more and more, we can pick up more and more. It takes getting used to the thoughts of God that come to us through the mind of Christ. But we could grow deep into that third level where we begin to pick up and interpret what our spirit is receiving. We could pick that up from God and in God. And that helps tremendously. And you know exactly what to do. Sometimes you don't know what to do in certain situations, let your spirit talk to God for some time. Just have pure, undefiled communion with God. And then when you come down after that, you know exactly what to do. Because your mind will pick up what your spirit has picked up. Third level, right? Fourth level. Oh, did I use level? Fourth quality, excuse me. Right? Fourth quality, these are flavors and qualities of tongue. All are necessary. In the book of 1 Corinthians 14, it says in verse 22, therefore tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers, but prophesying is not for unbelievers, but for those who believe. See, that's the fourth quality, a sign to unbelievers. A sign is something that must be clear. Otherwise, its existence is self-contradictory. Let's say, you know, you're driving along a dangerous road and there's a road sign that says Bahaya. And, you know, and with a picture of winding road warning you that in the next couple of miles it's going to be dangerous, winding and slippery. So you have that picture, that little car there, you know, slanting, you know, and the road curving. But that road sign is hidden so low and is only about 2 feet high. blocked by the tall 3 feet lalang. What use is that sign? Right? It won't serve the road user, it will serve the snakes that walk and go into the grass. Ah, yeah, dangerous money road. It wouldn't be serving the people. A sign is something that has to be prominent, that points to something. Otherwise, it's very existence nullified. Now, human beings sometimes put up signs that, you know, are ridiculous. Nobody seems to understand the sign. And that's why a logo is important, because a logo must not be too complicated. It must have an identity. And sometimes when people print wordings, and you could choose the most fanciful wording, and it's so fanciful, so artistic, that we cannot even read what you wrote. Right? Then you miss the whole point. And we just see that thing and we thought it's just some, you know, scratches here all over the place. Sometimes when I look at different artwork and typefaces and printing, you know, and I see a typeface that somebody has chosen for that article, and I say, my, I mean, it curves here and there's so much, I can't even read what the word mean. It has lost its meaning. Right? The beauty of the typeface has so marred the very language that he wants to convey, or meaning. And so in that same manner, a sign has to be clear-cut. So the fourth quality is where God uses a tongue as a sign. Now you see that usage in Acts chapter 2, where obviously it's more than the normal tongue. It is the normal tongue of people getting baptized in the Spirit, but obviously it's more than that too. There was something special involved that day. Because those tongues happened to be the tongues of men too. And they understood those tongues. Now sometimes God used that. When God used a tongue as a sign, some of the languages that are spoken are known to human beings. And it is used as a sign to show that that is miraculous and supernatural. Nothing artificial about that. And God has done that. And that is why your tongue may not be in that quality. It may move into those qualities. Because there are many qualities of tongues. One of the qualities is that it functions as a sign. When God so determined that it functions as a sign, it will take a particular utterance. And as you speak, you may even sense a different language. And the strange thing will be the person who hears it understands it, but you don't. The word sign or simon in the Greek also means, has been translated as miracles 22 times. 51 times it's been translated as sign. And 22 times it's been translated as miracle. Signs and wonders. So it's pointing to something miraculous. A mark, a special mark, a significant. And as we move into that area, there was this person, I'm trying to recall her name. She was a missionary to Hong Kong. I think I read that book about 10 years ago, and the book was, the title of the book was Acts of the Green Apple or something. Right. And I talked about this missionary, and she went to Hong Kong, doesn't know a word of Chinese, goes out on the street, but she was baptized in the Spirit. So she just wanted to, somehow she just wanted to just speak in tongues. So she goes to this Chinese man and says, and then the Chinese man replied to her. And she went on. And they conducted a conversation, which she doesn't understand anything. But the Spirit, now that was a sign. And so somehow she was pointed to the right direction where the help she wanted. She wanted something by that man. Because the Holy Spirit in her knew the language. And that's a kind of sign that happens, that takes place, like in the book of Acts chapter 2, it can happen. And I believe our sister, you know, Hildegard, she's in Germany now, for a couple of weeks. She shared with me how she was on one of her trips with her daughter to U.S. She has a lot of testimonies. And the Lord specially in the morning prayer told her to attend a certain church. She sensed a tremendous anointing. And when she was there, I don't think it was a Pentecostal church, but the anointing was so strong that she spoke out in tongues somewhere in that part of the service, right? And must get the story fully correct. And I remember that she was sharing something in that service, and she said part of it in tongues. It so happened that when she was saying those tongues, she was speaking in a language that they understood in that place, but she didn't understand. And I mean, she was as amazed by that. But that is what I call a sign. It can happen to any one of us, but our tongue can be the language of heaven, it can be the language of man on earth. When it takes the quality of building, right, it's more like a bubbling up from you. When it takes the language, when it takes the dialogue form, it possibly goes into what I call the heavenly language. Heavenly language. When it takes the building up, it may just be, building up your spirit man. It's coming forth. It's just like rivers flowing. But dialogue, it can take the form of heavenly language. And interpretation is transmitted into a language you understand inside you. And when it's a sign, it becomes in the language of human beings that we know on this earth. And you could take some of the tongues we people speak here, send it all over the world, and you may find, hey, some of the tongues nobody seems to have it at all. It may be bubbling forth. Heavenly language. But if it was ever determined to be a sign, it will be a language that somebody in that meeting may know it, or somebody outside of this meeting may one day hear it and recognize it. That's a sign. You can move into that. So it has to be, when you move into a sign, this is what happens. Your tongue's enunciation, pronunciation, and accent becomes clear. A sign has to be clear. And you sense like a supernatural force control you beyond your control. Almost. Right? You could determine to stop. But almost like beyond your control. And when the Holy Spirit first came in the school of Charles Parham, about when the cross midnight of the when the 20th century began and the 19th century ended, that there was this lady, this cis student, and she was in that Bible school, and she was baptized in the Spirit, and she began speaking Chinese. For 3 days, she could not talk in her own language. And when she tried to write down in English, she wrote in Chinese, which she has never written before. Now that is what I call a sign. It's supernatural and spectacular. Something that you could not imitate again. When the thing was over, it never happened anymore. Other people were feel the same as spoke in tongues, but the same thing never occurred. Why? Because that was a sign of Pentecost coming on the 20th century. It was a sign of the first work of the Holy Spirit in the 20th century when the outpouring of the Spirit began. See, it's not just an outpouring, there was a sign that took place. Notice that Acts 2, in the outpouring they have, there was a sign. But notice in Acts 19, there was an outpouring of the Spirit, but it's more building up. There was more like interpretation and prophesying type. In Acts 2, let me give some scriptures here. Acts 2, you notice this? It says, verse 4, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And verse 6, and when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Something tremendous was happening. Now look at Acts 19. Acts 2 was a sign. Acts 19 looks a bit different. Verse 5, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now, it never said that anybody there understood any language. So, it seems that when those tongues happen, they may have moved into the third quality, where there was interpretation and it became like prophecy. Now sometimes people may not even be aware that they are listening to some things in the spirit, and they came out with an interpretation, then they prophesy, and they don't realize that the prophecy was an interpretation of a tongue that was earlier spoken. But it seems to be that third quality coming up there. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul says that as he compares tongues and prophecy, in 1 Corinthians 14, he says in verse 5, I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesy. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may be edified. There you go, the interpretation coming in with tongues, and it produces prophecy. So it seems to fall into the third quality in Acts 19. And the fifth and last quality of tongues is, let's look at the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 26-27. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now notice in verse 26 it talks about groaning. But in verse 27 it says, he, capital he, makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Sometimes when you pray in tongues or speak in tongues, it can move into a quality where he is speaking through you. It's praying in tongues, speaking in tongues is the quality of your human spirit talking to God, right? At 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14 and 15. But there is an area where as you yield to it, God could just begin to speak through you, through your spirit, literally. And it's his voice coming out and his commands coming out through you. And sometimes when it happens in that area, it can be in the heavenly language or the angelic language, where God could, through your tongue, be instructing things. You become like a mouthpiece. And you could be, you know, sending instruction to the angel. Or you could be giving commands in that spirit realm against demon forces. I mean, in the fifth quality is where suddenly the voice of God is coming to you. It is not just the quality of your human spirit speaking. It enters into where he is speaking to you. And as we mentioned, there was an incident of this person here praying, and this Jewish man came by and he heard this person speaking, and he heard him spoke in Hebrew. And then he heard this person in Hebrew calling angels to go to various places and positions. And that was an intercession. The person who was speaking then did not know anything that was going on. So how do you explain what happened? The Holy Spirit literally took over and began to use that person as a mouthpiece to utter forth the words he wanted to speak to his angels. Instructions here and there. And there was one time when, in the early days of ministry, that was just before I went in the seminary, and there was this demon-possessed person, and we didn't know much about the word and all that, but I was already baptized in the Spirit to a certain extent. Oh, now I remember, it was because I was baptized in seminary. It was in my first year. I was back home. That's why I had already entered seminary. I was in my first year. I was back home, and is this demon, and that was manifesting in this person, and for some time a demon didn't come out. Then somehow I sensed a tongue rise up from me, and I found that my tongue started giving instruction, and it scolded the demon. Go, and I don't advocate that we do that, right? Because we had the command demons out in Jesus' name. But that was something that God was teaching me. It was an isolated incident. And so, and I, what I saw was surprising. I saw the demon in the person's eye, you know, and through the person's own eye, like shocked like that. And then, whatever God was speaking, which I don't understand, God must be scolding that fellow. And he go, wah, 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 wah. And after that, you know, nothing happened, and after a while, the demon was gone. Now, I had commanded the demon to come out earlier in Jesus' name, right? And, but nothing was happening or manifested yet. And, so that stayed in my mind, and I don't quite fully understand that. And more God began to show me that there are times, now, we cannot do it ourselves. As we know, you cannot force God to speak through you. But your spirit at any time can talk to God and dialogue with Him. But if you dialogue with God and you to God, there may come a time, just like we cannot say, thus says the Lord, without an anointing and asking and hearing from God. Otherwise, we'll be in presumption. So in the same way, in the fifth quality, you cannot just move into that area. It has to be God's spirit working through you, but yet we are not talking about gift of the spirit here. We're talking about an area where God literally fills you and quote-unquote possess you, controls you, and use you as a mouthpiece. And he could be giving instruction to the angels, he could be talking things here and there, and it's tremendous what God is doing. And sometimes I sense it, sometimes I sense in my prayer, which now you're aware of five qualities, you could yield to it. You cannot imitate it or presume when it's not there. But at least you're aware of it, when it starts happening, you could yield to it. And one time I was praying, and I sense, I usually walk a lot when I pray, And I felt, you know, my hand moving. You know, when you're in talking to someone, of course you don't talk to someone, you know, I'm not talking to you, and you know, I know. No, we talk with expression, even in our known language. So sometimes when you're in dialogue with God, you got expression, right? Right? You talk to God, your expression. And so when you move into the fifth area, it seems that God takes control of you. And one day I was praying, and I found myself pointing, you know, to a certain direction. And as if I was giving a command. They go, hey, Kabli Abra, Zigbun Amma. Wow, command. And then, yielding to the spirit, I found myself walking to the other side and pointing and saying, hey, Kabli Abra, Zigbun Amma. And then I found that I moved to all four corners. I said, God, what's happening? And an understanding awakened, that God was using me somehow in the spirit to command certain things in the spirit realm. Whether it was commanding demon powers in certain areas that he wanted, you know, to do something, and I was just yielding to that. And so it can come. Who knows tonight when you're praying, right? God can go, or you could be led of God. No, I know that you are positioning yourself, some of it, the positions you take is because it's your favorite position. But as you move deeper into God, you may feel the leading of God to just stand up. Or to just point to a certain direction, right? Right? And sometimes when I am praying for a congregation, I feel the leading of God, right? When I'm in dialogue with God. You don't have to dialogue with God loudly. People don't know you're dialoguing with God. You go, everyone is very more, right? Like just now that incident, right? We are sitting at dialogue here. Then I tend to speak flowing here. So I tend to flow here, flow there, flow here, flow there. And you just yield to the spirit and you could sense what he's doing. And that's the fifth area. It's a total yieldedness, the quality that comes. And it could use you, send you, move you in any area. And it could even make you get in a car and drive around the boundaries of KL and go, whatever. You never know, strange things. Insignificant, foolish, and stupid in the intellect. But you never know the spirit world, what is happening. It has to be backed up by the word of God. Praise God. So there are five qualities of tongues that we need to be aware of as we move deep in the things of God. Praise God. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we praise you and thank you for your word, and we ask, oh God, as we move into this area, especially as we move into the second and the third area, third quality, we pray that those items that we are praying about, oh God, that we may be sensitive to what you are saying, and not only what we want to bring to you. And as we bring all these things before you in our prayer items, we pray, oh God, that you give us a clarity, for we know no will can be done except your will. And we pray, oh God, that your will be done on earth and in our lives as it is done in heaven. As we pray tonight and bring before you those things, Lord, that are birthed in the Spirit, birthed from spiritual desires in your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Let's rise together. Sing that song, hallelujah, is a prayer answering God. Praise God. Hallelujah is a prayer answering God. Hallelujah is a prayer answering God. For we pray in Jesus' name, and by faith the answer came. Hallelujah is a prayer answering God. Hallelujah is a prayer answering God. Hallelujah is a prayer answering God. For we pray in Jesus' name, and by faith the answer came. Hallelujah is the prayer answering God. Amen. So build yourself up before you move into all those qualities. Praise God.